This is an Aero News Touch and Go for March 27, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. On Wednesday, a small California aerospace company unveiled a new self-contained suborbital spaceship designed to provide affordable front seat rides to the edge of space for the estimated millions of people who will want to buy a ticket. The company, X-Core Aerospace of Mojave, California, announced its two-seat Lynx suborbital spaceship will carry people or payloads to where they will experience weightlessness, see the stars set against the blackness of space, and see the curvature of the Earth and its atmosphere below. Lynx will use X-Core's kerosene liquid oxygen rocket technology to produce a vehicle which can be reused many times and requires no separate booster or mothership. Lynx will be able to take off and land horizontally from any runway over 7,200 feet long, allowing the option to abort a takeoff safely, an advantage over vertically launched craft. With Lynx, X-Core brings a unique proposition to the emerging space tourism market, estimated at over $500 million. First flight is targeted for 2010. Garmin has listened to pilots who love the GPS map 496, but can't make it pencil out. On Wednesday, Garmin unveiled its GPS map 495 portable aviation device with many popular 496 features, but at a fraction of the cost. The 495 includes Garmin's Safe Taxi Airport Diagrams, Smart Airspace, AOPA's Airport Directory Data, Enhanced High-Res Terrain Database, Aviation Database with Private Airports and Heliports, Accelerated GPS Update Rate, and European VFR Reporting Waypoints. So what did they take out? Well, the GPS map 495 does not include the GXM30A smart antenna with XMWX satellite weather, and it's not compatible with the GXM30A smart antenna. The GPS map 495 is expected to be available at Lakeland. The expected street price is $1,595, and if you get one while you're at Lakeland, you'll also get a $100 rebate. The Space Shuttle Endeavour is back home after a 16-day mission to the International Space Station. The STS-123 mission began March 11th and delivered the first segment of the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency's Kibo Laboratory and the Canadian Space Agency's two-armed robotic system known as Dexter. The shuttle made a routine landing a little after 8 p.m. Eastern Time yesterday evening at the Kennedy Space Center. Mission managers passed on the first landing opportunity at 7.05 p.m. Eastern Time due to low clouds near the Kennedy Space Center. On the second pass, the weather was fine. As congested as major U.S. metropolitan airports have become, it could have been much worse. A USA Today analysis of federal data shows the fastest-growing airport traffic in the country is not happening at JFK or LAX, but rather at mid-sized airports an hour or more outside major cities. Airport consultant Mike Boyd told the paper volume at these airports has jumped by up to 400% in the past decade, driven by discount airlines moving to cheaper secondary airports, and by population growth in regions located about an hour from New York, Los Angeles, Boston, and Washington. Despite the NIMBY battles, which seem to dominate the headlines, aviation consultant Patrick Murphy told USA Today that in most suburbs where airports are expanding, quote, the local citizenry is delighted with the air service they can obtain, unquote. This has been an Aero News Touch and Go. Don't forget to check out our complete Aero briefing. There we'll tell you about these stories. Airlines scramble to look more closely at their maintenance programs. U.S. Airways suspends the pilot who shot a hole in an A319. And another A380 is grounded by a fuel pump issue. Also, check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll hear U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters' comments on the current state of aviation in the U.S. from her address at the FAA 2008 Annual Forecast Conference. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, iPodder, Podcast Alley, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.